Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.
Shrink Wrap Radio number 218, Matrix Meditations with Victor and Cooch Daniels. Welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio, the planet's premier psychology podcast. This is your host, Dr. Dave, coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. Shrink Wrap Radio is the show that speaks from the psychologist in me to the psychologist in you, whether you be amateur, student, or professional.
Was just me who was writing a thing, it would be sort of flatter and more matter of fact. And when she's working in the writing, she brings into it a kind of a more lyrical, more poetic quality. So people have remarked, I love the tone of this book. I just love reading it and feeling the words reverberate through me. And Cooch has made a wonderful contribution to that quality of the book.
Well, I think that's because Victor and I are very connected on many levels. And when we come together, we accent each other's positive in the writing, which is something when two people can write together, you take two people's ideas and put them together to create one stronger idea. And it's really a work of both of our writing skills and our connection together and being able to bring ideas together.
Those were the voices of my two guests, Victor and Cooch Daniels, discussing the writing of their new book, Matrix Meditations. Victor Daniels, Ph.D., is professor of psychology at Sonoma State University. He was the first director of its India Studies program and is a past chair of the psychology department. Zen Master Jakusho Kwang Roshi, abbot of Sonoma Mountain Zen Center, has been his meditation teacher and role model for several decades. Victor received his master's and Ph.D. from UCLA, where he studied with both scientifically and clinically oriented faculty. He was heavily influenced by Harold Kelly and John Seward, with concentrations in social psychology, personality, and motivation. He also became interested in both Western and Eastern philosophies and spiritual traditions, and has taught meditation in workshops and courses for over 35 years. Skilled in Gestalt therapy, he has served as program chair for two international Gestalt conferences. Along with his wife, Cooch Daniels, he authored Tarot d'Amour. And with his colleague, Lawrence J. Horowitz, he also wrote Being and Caring, A Psychology for Living. Cooch N. Daniels, M.A., studied with Ayurvedic master Harish Johari for 20 years. Johari was a Jnana yogi and tantric scholar who practiced forms of meditation carried out amid daily life activities. Cooch obtained her BA from Ohio University and then her master's from Sonoma State University with concentrations in humanistic and Jungian psychology. She's been working as a professional intuitive throughout her life, guiding both private clients and clients in the corporate world in working with meditation, visualization, and affirmations. Now, here's the interview. Victor and Cooch Daniels, welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm so pleased to have you both together on the show at long last. Victor, I interviewed you way back in January of 2006 for Shrink Wrap number 21 on Gestalt Therapy. Can you believe it now? We're way up into the 200s. And Cooch, I wanted to get you on the show to talk about the Tarot book that you and Victor wrote, but you were too shy, as I recall. So,
I'm getting over my shyness.
Oh, good, good. So I'm glad to have you both here. Now, for purposes of full disclosure, I should hasten to let our audience know that Victor and I have both been psychology professors at Sonoma State University since dinosaurs roamed the earth. And the three of us are longtime good friends, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad you endorsed that. But personal ties aside, and with as much objectivity as I can muster, I think you guys have done a great job on your books, and I'm happy to help promote them. And in our talk today, I want to focus on your most recent book. But before we do, Cooch, maybe you can say something about the Tarot book that you and Victor wrote, Tarot d'Amour.
It's a wonderful book to help people process and look at their emotions, and it also teaches how to do the tarot and how to do tarot spreads. And I've gotten really good reviews from people who have it. They go, oh, I keep it at my night bedstand, and whenever I'm going through something emotionally, I open it up, and it always helps me feel so much better. So it's a good book for people to just kind of look more deeply into their emotions, as well as being a book that teaches the tarot. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and I have to endorse it as well. My first impression, you know, Tarot d'Amour, the Tarot of Love, and I thought, this might be a little bit flaky. But actually, as I got into it, I found it to be a very valuable resource for me, something that I refer to from time to time when I'm trying to remember some of the traditional and not so traditional meanings of some of the cards. How did the two of you approach writing that book, Tarot d'Amour?
Victor, you want to tell them?
Well, Cooch was the lead author on that book, and she had written. It's a passion of hers. She's done tarot readings for individuals and corporations and private parties for decades. She's really a leading authority on the tarot. And
he's asking about the book, not about me.
Well, but that's the beginning of the book. It's essentially you were taking. All of your knowledge and all of your life experience in working with the tarot and putting it into the book. And so she had done a number of drafts of it, and at one point asked me, Victor, would you read this thing and critique it and comment on it? And I did. And she said, well, gee, you know, I like what you've done. Would you like to be co-author of it with me and really work on it together? And so we did. Do you want to add something to that?
If I added anything, it would be that I had been passing my book to publishers, without an agent, and getting rejections, and I was giving up, and I'd asked a friend of mine who'd published a number of books, how in the heck do you get into the publishing office and get things published? And he reviewed my book, and he went, you know, I think it needs to be a little more spicy. Why don't you add the word sex? Well, as soon as that element came into the title and Victor got on board, it became a new book because my book was not about, it was about romance and relationships, but it didn't focus on more intimate matters. But once it did, it kind of took off because after the word sex got into the title, because initially we had it called Sex in the Tarot, we got a publisher's attention right away, and that was kind of the beginning of Victor and my writing career together, because we realized that, wow, we can really do wonderful things writing together. We have a good flow, a good harmony with exchanges of ideas, and all of a sudden we had a published book.
The subtitle of it ended up being the main title. Actually, the publisher suggested Tarot d'Amour, and we went, well, we should have a grammatically correct in the French, so Tarot d'Amour, and the subtitle is Find Love, Sex, and Romance in the Cards.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I've been so impressed that the two of you are able to collaborate in that way. I think it's a wonderful. I'm always impressed by couples who are able to write books together, because writing a book is hard enough, and somehow blending with another person, I guess it's just my own psychology. I think I would maybe find that particularly challenging. Well, let's talk about your new book, Matrix Meditations, A Practical Guide to Tending the Garden of Your Soul.
Really, David, that practical guide to tending the garden of your soul is that's a title that we just have up on our website, and the subtitle of the book itself, the publisher suggested, was a 16-week program for developing the mind-heart connection.
Uh-huh. So these things change as they move along, I guess, huh?
Oh yes, you with the from the title that that an author initially suggests as a working title that that the agent takes into the publisher or that the author submits to the publisher, it usually goes through a number of iterations and
back and forth between, is this okay? Do you like this? Can we change this? Will you accept this?
Yeah. Yeah,
Once a book goes to a publisher, all of a sudden it's their book.
Right. So how did you come to write this book, you two?
Well, we had written To Rhoda Moore, and we really enjoyed the process of working with each other on it. And
we were sitting in a hot tub talking about writing projects.
And said, if we were to write another book together, what is there that we're both interested in and that we would, that we both know quite a lot about and that we would be interested in collaborating, on writing? And, meditation was that subject.
Well, Cooch, I seem to recall you telling a story about how the organization for the book came to you during one of your own meditations. Am I remembering that right?
Well, actually, it's true. We had been trying to get our book published, and our agent was going, there's too many meditation books out there. You need to have, your own slant, or it needed to have something special. And Victor was handing me more meditations to read, and I was going, we've got the meditations. We need something extra. And
it wasn't just we had the meditations, and we'd also developed really a very lovely tone and a lovely writing style. People have commented about how beautifully written the book is, but none of that was enough.
And I was in a meditation class, and we do chanting, and then we meditate in my class that I've been going to for, actually it's a satsang that I've been going to for a number of years, and I was just in my meditation, and the universe handed me through my third eye, and a hand came, I could visualize, I saw the hand coming through the ether, and it handed me a scroll. It was more like typing paper, but it handed me a tablet, and on this tablet was the outline of Matrix Meditations and how to do this grid that we have inside it that has four columns, and puts everything in almost an I Ching format where there's a grid with different attributes of consciousness. And so, yes, it did come through a meditation. And I think here's a book on meditation and the concept for how to put it all into a unique original format came to me through a meditation. So, yes, David, that's true.
And so instead of the ancient elements of earth, air, fire, and water that the I Ching has, we have a more psychological slant with these four columns. It's mind, body, emotion, and action. And so all of the meditations and all of the reflections in relation to those are classified into one of those four columns. And then the entire thing has 65 cells that are akin to the 64 trigrams in the I Ching. And so a person can easily look at the matrix of consciousness, which is what we've called the table that embraces
cells, all
of those, and they can look and see whatever is of interest to them at a particular moment and go immediately to that cell and read the information that's there about it. Or they can even get to one of those cells by virtue of we included a coin oracle similar to the coin oracle of the ancient I Ching, or they can draw a card that'll send them there. We developed a card oracle in place of the yarrow stock article of the oracle of the I Ching, because yarrow stocks are few and far between these days.
Right.
Or you can always depend on synchronicity and just open the page to what you feel is going to give you the most insight for that moment.
Yeah.
Or you can use it as a systematic course in meditation from beginning to end and just go directly through it. And we've set it up so that it's valuable. It's easy for people who are beginners who have never meditated before. It will take them right at the very beginning, step by step, right through it. And we've also got a variety of advanced meditations that will make it valuable even for advanced meditators. There are things in there that they've probably never seen before, and some that they've definitely never seen meditating before, because we've scoured the corners of the earth for little-known but effective meditations and also developed a few of our own.
You two do scour the ends of the earth. I have to let our listeners know that you are both gypsy travelers who travel all over the place. You've been to India and Afghanistan and all over Central and South America, Mexico, and places and where?
One of my mottos is there's so little time and too many islands. We love tropical islands. So.
Yeah. I'm remembering you guys like Belize a lot, among other tropical islands, Hawaii. Let me ask you, why Matrix Meditations? Is this in any way a reference to the movie The Matrix?
It's actually not. It's the central portion of the book. There are 10 very brief introductory chapters, and then there is the 65-cell Matrix of Consciousness. And that we couldn't think of anything better to call it than the Matrix of Consciousness. That seemed to seem catchy. It seemed to make sense. Our agent liked it, and so our initial title for the book was The Matrix of Consciousness, and the publisher said, well, let's just make it Matrix Meditations.
And in a way, the movie was really exciting, and it enables people to have superhero abilities. And I think if you use Matrix Meditations, you tap into that within your own self with your own superhuman abilities. So in some ways, it is very exciting, but it's from an inward, inside-out journey.
Okay. And maybe you could talk a bit about your own backgrounds with meditation. You want to start, Victor, and then, Cooch, you can talk about your background.
Well, I had started back in the days of the old hippie and beatnik days. I had picked up a few books on meditation, primarily in the Zen tradition, and so had begun meditating on my own, and had begun teaching some meditation to students in workshops and classes. And then one day a fellow appeared at Sonoma State University and said, gee, I'd like to sit in on your class. And he sat in on one of the classes, and I discovered that he had been studying with Shinryu Suzuki, the Zen master in San Francisco, for quite some time. His name was Bill Kwong. And Bill Kwong actually turned out to be far more knowledgeable and a far more skilled meditator than I was. Eventually he actually came and taught at Sonoma State. I helped him get a job there, and he taught there for a few years, and then had the gift of 80 acres of wonderful land up on Sonoma Mountain offered to him, and he decided to start a Zen center up there. He actually became a Zen master himself in the lineage of Shinryu Suzuki and started Sonoma Mountain Zen Center. And so I had the opportunity of having him as a meditation teacher. At the same time, Nirmal Singh Desi, who had run the proposal for an India Studies program through the California State University system, gotten it all approved, but didn't want to run the thing, and knew that I was very into Asian traditions. In those days, there was a lot of interest in Asian spiritual traditions in Northern California, and Sonoma State, where I taught and teach, was kind of a stop on what I called the Swami Circuit. And then Nirmal asked me whether I would be interested in becoming chair of the program and running it, and I thought, sure, why not? So I became part of that and made contact with a great many people who came through, and simply moved more and more deeply into studying the meditative traditions, both of India, that is the yogic traditions, the Buddhist traditions, and of the Far East, and of the Middle East, the Sufi traditions, and even of the even esoteric Christianity and Christian contemplative meditations. And so that was my beginning in the whole thing. Then we, for many years, I'll let Cooch tell you about Harish Johari, who has been such an important part of our lives.
Okay. I actually started meditating probably right out of college in my early 20s, and I was practicing with an esoteric group, and meditation was used as a form to develop our psychic ability. So when I started meditating, it was for the purpose of developing my intuition. And I did not like to meditate. I fought it tooth and nail, to be quite honest. But on my life journey, I met many wonderful spiritual teachers because I'm very attracted to Eastern traditions. And one of them, as Victor said, was Horacio Hari. And Victor and I both studied with him for 18 years. So we've had these incredible teachers from India come into our life and bring esoteric awareness from the Eastern ancient tantric traditions. And then my current and love of my heart is Amma, Sri Amma Rittananda Mayima, or the Hugging Saint. She's called the Hugging Saint, Amma, the Hugging Saint. And she practices and advocates meditation as a path to freeing our bonded spirits so that we can move towards enlightenment, which is really sounds really delicious when we read the newspaper and see all the horrible things that are on the news. It's like, wow, enlightenment sounds so good in comparison. But I have fought meditation, but at this point I have a hard time if I don't meditate. My meditations take me into a place of relaxation, and I feel more connected and grounded and connected to my higher self, I should say, and grounded to the earth so that I can use my hands in a way that is going to bring me as much fulfillment or let me live my purpose. I really feel meditation kind of keys me into like being on a path with more, being on my path with more of a conscious awareness. So I'm totally an advocate of meditating at this point.
I'll add to that there's, for me, aspect to it, and that's it. I used to be a pretty scattered character and had a hard time focusing and centering and careful with that, and it has helped me move toward being much more centered. It's been helped me move out of being lost in my head toward making more loving contact with other people. It's been useful in both a very directly down-to-earth kind of way and also in a larger, more soulful way.
Well, I had planned to ask you how meditation has benefited your life, and you've both kind of spontaneously spoken to that.
We intuited that you were going to ask us that question because we meditate.
Okay. And yes, we are coming to you from California. So how many meditations are there in the book? I remember the number 65, but that's...
There's 65 on the grid, but within each cell, there's one main meditation, and Victor is responsible for the majority of those. He's been teaching meditations in his college classrooms for the last 30-some years. But my contribution has been coming and doing more of the variety, because with every meditation, there's an essence, which is the actual meditation, but then there is a variation in technique.
And these are sections. Well, there's a section in each cell that says the essence, which has the basic meditation, and then another section titled Variations in Techniques.
Which is usually an alternate meditation for the main meditation, and that was my contribution, was working on the variations and seeing how they can apply and how I've used my meditations in ways that were similar to how Victor was teaching his meditations. So there's 65 main ones, but then there's probably 65 sub-meditations. So when you have the book, you're going to get more than 100 meditations.
It's really sort of like going into the cave of your mind and exploring countless caverns and finding tools in them that can take you to all kinds of places. But I will add that Cooch said my contribution was. I would add that that's one of her many contributions. Another of her many contributions is the quality that she brings to the writing itself. If it was just me who was writing the thing, it would be sort of flatter and more matter of fact. And when she's working in the writing, she brings into it a kind of a more lyrical, more poetic quality. So people have remarked, I love the tone of this book. I just love reading it and feeling the words reverberate through me. And Cooch has made a wonderful contribution to that quality of the book.
Well, I think that's because Victor and I are very connected on many levels. And when we come together, we accent each other's positive in the writing, which is something when two people can write together, you take two people's ideas and put them together to create one stronger idea. And it's really a work of both of our writing skills and our connection together and being able to bring ideas together. So I think Victor's contribution and mine are, it's a joint effort. It truly is.
Well, maybe you could share one of the meditations from the book with us, which will help people to get a clearer idea of what we're talking about here. And I didn't prep you for this ahead of time, so I'm hoping you've got a copy nearby and that you can identify one that would be good to share.
Well, David, let's make this personal. What's on your mind that you would like to be working on in your life today? If you had a question in your mind for your personal life, what would you have a question about?
Oh, I thought I was springing something on you.
Ha! Turned it back.
You've turned it right back on me.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Grasshopper, let me think here. Oh, boy. Well, just trying to, I'm feeling a little scattered myself, and there are projects having to do with home improvement that I've been trying to keep moving along, and they just seem to drag over the years. And so that's what's on my mind right now, is focusing my energies, keeping projects moving forward.
Okay.
How about, Victor, do you think cell 57, purpose, or 58, creativity? Which sounds best to you, David? Would you think purpose or creativity? Or we have a cell called presence or wholeness?
I go to a whole other place with it. I think of the meditation that that is specifically oriented toward scatteredness and toward moving beyond scatteredness right in the moment. So there are.
Which meditation is that? Which one? Because I don't know where we put that.
Oh, it's called Just One Thing at a Time, and I don't even remember what cell it's in. It may be in presence. We have a directory of meditations here. To find it, we go to the
page
111 of the book. No, actually, we go to the page 5 is the Matrix of Consciousness. I would go to the directory of meditations, and we have the meditations in the book divided into four basic kinds. One of them is, and we'll come right back to that question of to which one and to your issue, David. There are mindfulness meditations that are focused on noticing what's occurring moment by moment in your own consciousness and around you. There are concentrative meditations which are oriented toward developing the ability to put your mind where you want it and to keep it there. Those are very, very valuable. Even in daily life, for instance, a lot of people will get into a conversation, it'll meander on over, you'll end up someplace where you didn't want to be, but the concentrative meditation develops the ability to keep your mind focused and on track where you want it. There are contemplative meditations for thinking through in a deep and meditative kind of way the many different aspects of a person's life, and there are adventures in awareness, which are things that a person can do to bring a kind of meditative consciousness to their everyday lives. Take a meditative state and use it in daily awareness. So I'm looking and I'm finding that the the item that I had in mind, One Move at a Time, is in cell number 8 on page 94. That's from the direction, the directions in meditation.
Okay, well, let me say two things here. One is that was a very useful overview, Victor, of hearing this. You know, there's so many different ways to slice your book, so to speak, and that sort of slice by the different kinds of meditations, mindfulness versus concentrated versus the other things that you mentioned, gives us one useful overview. And I think I like going with the one that you mentioned, Victor, of that addresses scatteredness.
Okay. Let me read it here then. As with all the cells, this is cell number 8. Focus is the title of the cell. It's got as all the cells do. It's got a attractive picture. This one is a photograph of a tree and a snowy hillside, and it just stands out. Each of the cells begins with an attractive photograph that's keyed to the message of the cell.
And has a quote, an Italian proverb that says, "One who does too much often does too little."
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that.
And then there's the beginning of the cell. There's first a section that is commentary and reflection. It begins with a sentence: "A simple shift in how you do what you do can pull you out of hurry and worry and into calm appreciation of your moment by moment experience." And then it goes on to have about 2 pages of discussion of focus, and then moves into the particular meditative, actually, in this case, it's an adventure in awareness for taking a meditative consciousness into daily life, the essence. And I'll just read this. It's very brief. It's just 2 brief paragraphs.
Okay.
Starting from a starting position, starting from a sitting position, stand up at your normal pace, take an item from your purse or pocket, or pick up some item lying nearby, do something with it, such as running a brush through your hair, and then sit back down. Next, close your eyes and mentally review what you just did. Then, open your eyes and do exactly the same thing again, or reverse the sequence if an item ended up somewhere other than where it began, with this difference: make just one movement at a time. For instance, lean forward with your torso. Move one leg into position to stand up. Then the other leg. Then push yourself up. Next, move your arm sideways toward your pocket. Then downward into your pocket. And so on, pausing for an instant between each distinct movement. You may be amazed at how many movements go into such a simple sequence of action. You are also likely to feel more focused, centered, and present by the time you have finished making just one movement at a time. So this is something that a person can do at any moment. You're fumbling for your keys. You're doing 3 things at once. You're feeling hassled, harried, and harassed. You stop. You take 1 minute or 1.5 minutes to do what you're doing.
And focus your full attention on your breath, your movements. And you make each moment more of a deeper reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, instead of trying to get there, you're here. You're present. And I have found that for me, this has been I've been using this for decades. And it is a wonderful way to get out of that state of mind where all of a sudden I lose something because I wasn't paying attention to it, into being here with my experience as I move in from moment to moment.
That's very, very helpful. Hey, Cooch, maybe you could take us through the one on purpose that that you felt might be appropriate for me. And that way we'll hear one in both voices, Victor's and yours.
Gosh.
Okay, I'm back looking at that's toward the end of the book. That's cell 57, Goals and Meaning. And
I've got to find the page.
That's on page 334.
334.
Folks, you're hearing the collaborative process in action.
Yes, it is.
You are there now. This is how the books get written.
Okay, purpose. The quote for purpose, I love our quotes. Every cell starts with a quote from a very lofty thinker, and this was from High Eagle. Possession of a vision is not the same as living it, nor can we encourage others with it if we do not ourselves understand and follow its truths.
Mm. From a Native American teacher.
Yes.
Okay. And now I have to look at what the meditation is.
The sacred well, that's the one that that came out of our visit to Glastonbury, which is the site of the same site of ancient Avalon and King Arthur.
Oh, yes, Glastonbury is it's the site of Avalon. It's if you've ever heard of, I'm sure most people have heard of Avalon. Well, Glastonbury is the physical city in England of the ancient Avalon. And there's a sacred well there where you can go. It's called the Chalice Well, and you can actually walk to this well, and people bring crystals and put all kinds of beautiful things around the well. And the well has been used for literally thousands of years as a healing well. And people have been known to have complete transformations by looking into this well or getting some water out of the well and putting it, you know, on their place of pain. So it's a healing well. But our meditation itself, you want me to read this?
Yes.
Okay.
It's about the same length as the previous one.
Okay. It starts, in Glastonbury, England, the historic site of Avalon, a spiritual sanctuary since King Arthur's time, a lone hill overlooks the town. On it, an ancient tower called the Tor stands as if guarding the small city. In your mind's eye, imagine that you have made the gentle climb to reach the stone-walled Tor. Sense the potent energy surrounding you as you visit this power spot. Look far into the distance. This is within your mind, of course. As you do, see your life spread out before you. Scrutinize it. Notice what feels most important, what gives your life meaning now. Next, make your way back down the hill to a shady grotto where a spring bubbles into a well. Imagine that you sit down next to it. As you watch the water flow downhill from the well through several ponds, recall the view from the hilltop. In the quiet of your mind, see revealed your most enduring purpose, which with the greatest value to you in this moment. You might also realize that some of the ways you have been using your energy have little value, and perhaps some have none at all. So the purpose of this meditation that I just read is to get in touch with the meaning inside you and what you sense and see as your purpose.
This falls into the category that we've called contemplative meditations. And so the purpose, meaning, this is a way for people. Customarily, a person will do this in a meditation after having done some degree of centering through a concentrative or attentive meditation, and then we'll go into contemplation, and the insights kind of bubble up from the subconscious in a way very different than they do in ordinary thinking. If a listener would like to actually see that sacred well, they can go to the book's website and click on the link that says the authors, and there's an actual photograph there of the opening of the well at
where Victor's trying to dive in.
That's
well, since you've mentioned the book's website, why don't you go ahead and give us that URL right now?
Sure. It's the standard HTTP /www.matrixmeditations.com. And Matrix Meditations is lowercase, all one word. But if a person happens to forget that www.matrixmeditations.com, they can always just Google or Yahoo Matrix Meditations and will be one of the top couple of sites that comes up. And so it's easy to find.
That's great. Now, does a reader need to have a certain religious or spiritual orientation?
No, we've actually worked very hard to make this non-doctrinaire. We've got stories and quotations from Jesus, as well as from the
Buddha,
from the Middle East, from Buddha, very heavily influenced by Buddhist tradition, by yogic tradition, by Taoist and Confucian traditions.
We even got Muslim tradition. We've tried to hit every corner of the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you hear that, it's easy to think, oh, it's just a potpourri of an eclectic collection of things. That's not the case. It's actually very systematic, very well organized. We have our own conception of meditation and of consciousness, and we've brought these things together in an extremely well integrated form. Yet it's a form that our hope has been that it would be something that would feel open and accessible to people of any religion or of no religion, and completely non-sectarian.
Who is the intended audience? Do you sort of visualize kind of who this book is targeted towards?
Victor has wanted this book to be sold at truck stops in every state around, you know, as truck drivers are going, they can like open up and relax and, you know, they'll rejuvenate as they're driving down the highways. But the book can actually, it's really well suited for corporate settings. It can help people relax and be more focused and reduce stress and become more in touch with what their purpose is. It can be good for housewives. It can be good at yoga schools and ashrams. It really is kind of an all-purpose meditation book for all kinds of people.
Yeah, someone on one hand, someone who has been meditating for decades can read it and find it valuable. Some of our endorsers have people who read pre-publication copies of the book have found it to be extremely valuable for them. It's taken their own meditation to deeper levels. It's opened it up. It's expanded new possibilities for them. It's also for anyone who is feeling harried and harassed who's never meditated. It can be valuable for them. So our intended audience really is anyone who would find it useful. It was written for people from all backgrounds and all walks of life.
And any religion.
Yeah, or culture or nationality. We've really tried to make it something that is as widely accessible as possible.
On your site, you even suggest potential benefits for relationships for families. How so?
Well, we actually explicitly have, there are two ways. One is that most people in their relationships are caught up in their own sense of self-importance, their own ego, and don't tend to listen terribly well to what other people's needs are. And so one of the things that comes through the basic practice of the meditation is an ability to be present with whoever or whatever is around one and to have a clarity of mind and a quietness that allows hearing and tuning in to what's occurring with other people. We've also got in the Adventures in Awareness, we've got explicit practices for improving listening, for things that people can do, words that people can use, little phrases that help people when they're not hearing what another person is saying clearly to tune in with them. Moving from antagonistic or competitive interactions, we have an exercise that helps people perceive when they're getting caught in power struggles and to step out of that and to move from antagonistic or competitive interactions toward more mutually respectful and caring ones.
Yes, Victor and I have been using that for the last 30 years of our relationship. That's why we haven't killed each other yet.
Right.
Very good. So,
and families as well. there is often that problem in families of people needing to be right or needing to be in control and wanting other people to fit their expectations. And so some of the practices that we have enhance a person's ability to accept and treasure each other person as that person is, and to let go of needing to control the other person, and developing a set of relationships in the family in which each person truly respects as well as loves the other members of the family and respects the individuality of the other members of the family.
But Victor, you might be overly optimistic, because if you're in a really abusive family where people are not kind to one another and do physical, emotional harm to one another, they might not be really receptive to your visualizations or your talks about dreams and breathing, and they might not really get to, like, slow down and pay attention to your feelings, and, you know, they might not get it. So you might be overly optimistic, but the material is there.
Okay, a nice little piece of grounding there. And I should mention, let the audience know that, in fact, you guys have some experience with family, that you're the parents of two beautiful grown daughters. And so it's getting time for us to wrap this up. When does the book come out officially, and where will people be able to find it?
It officially was supposed to come out on August 15th, but they brought it out a little early. They brought it out in July, and so it's available in bookstores now. Any bookstore that doesn't carry it, all a person has to do is call and ask that the bookstore kindly get it and have it for them. We're doing signings and appearances to get it into more and more bookstores now, and it's available from all of the major online booksellers, from Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Overstock.com. If a person does a Google search for Matrix Meditations and scrolls down the line a little, they'll find a listing of at least 20 online booksellers that you can get it from. It's also carried by online booksellers at this point in India. There's a couple of them, and in England there's a couple of them. So it's available.
Okay, well, that has to be very gratifying for both of you, and congratulations on this wonderful piece of work, of collaborative work.
Victor, thank you, David.
Yeah, Victor and Cooch Daniels, thanks so much for being my guests today on Shrink Wrap Radio.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for being such a gracious host.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with my longtime friends, Victor and Cooch Daniels. We've known each other since I first came to Sonoma State University many years ago. I think Victor was hired on about a year or so before I was. I wish you could see where Victor and Cooch live. Victor was wise enough to buy a large tract of mountainous redwood forest acreage just over the hills from the seaside town of Bodega Bay, immortalized in Alfred Hitchcock's film The Birds. Victor built a large dome on that land, and over the years has added various wings onto the dome so that it's a spacious and comfortable home in which he and Cooch raise their two daughters. Aside from his general brilliance and academic accomplishments, Victor's quite a mountain man, felling trees, shoring up his creek, clearing away brush, and so on. They've planted lush gardens and many fruit trees. Both Victor and Cooch have developed the skills necessary for surviving country life, and they've reaped the benefits of living in a beautiful, natural environment. And they've put into practice in their lives the humanistic and spiritual ideals which they've taught and so eloquently written about. It's been my pleasure to share them with you here. Once again, the website for their book is matrixmeditations.com.
Been laying on this couch, babe. I've been laying here so long, just waiting for Dr. Dave, babe. to play his shrink wrap radio song. Oh, he plays it so sweet and it plays it so warm. Shrink wrap radio, it's a harbor from the storm. You know he speaks to your mind, babe, but he's really speaking to your soul. Talking shrink wrap radio, babe. You know that's just the way that he rolls. At the end of the day, you know what you'll find. Like Dr. Dave said, it's all in your mind.
Hi again, everybody. This episode has probably arrived sooner than you expected. I wanted to get off one more before taking off for Kauai, just so you'd not be without, in case it takes me a while to get my feet back on the ground when I get back. Also, I'm trying to help my friends Victor and Cooch promote their book, so I wanted to get this info out into the world as soon as possible. We have a new link in our Top Spots widget in the right-hand sidebar on our site. It's for Native American jewelry by artist Eric Begay. There are some nice pieces there at decent prices. Check it out. And thanks, Eric. Our Top Spots widget is a place where listeners can post an ad for services on their podcast or blog for a mere $20 PayPal payment. And that ad will stay up for months and months. It may be the cheapest advertising you can find anywhere on the internet. So either consider posting your own ad or patronizing one of our listeners who have posted theirs, or both. By the way, there's a new interview up on my other podcast series at wisecounselpodcast.com. It's with Bruce Ecker on an approach he calls coherence therapy. According to Bruce, coherence therapy helps catalyze the therapeutic process so that the genuine client breakthroughs become a more regular and predictable therapeutic outcome. So check that out. And thanks for helping to spread the word about Shrink Wrap Radio. You've made us number 13 on the higher education page in the U.S. iTunes store currently. I thank you for that. As a matter of fact, as of this moment, FeedBurner lists the top 25 countries hitting the Shrink Wrap Radio site as the United States, United Kingdom, Germany, Mexico, Thailand, Ireland, Spain, Canada, Australia, South Africa, Sweden, the Russian Federation, New Zealand, China, Pakistan, Egypt, Switzerland, Italy, Colombia, Philippines, Taiwan, Qatar, St. Lucia, Norway, and Lithuania. And that's just because of what time of the day it is. If I were to check at some other time, the list would be somewhat different. Now, some of these people are listening to us on their mobile phones using the Stitcher application. If you'd like to be doing that, you'll find a link to Stitcher on our website. It's rather quiet at the moment on our Yahoo discussion group. Maybe you'd like to jump in and stir things up. There is a banner link on our website in the right-hand sidebar, or you can simply send an email to shrinkwrapradio-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. The latest typed transcript that we've uploaded, I believe, is number 214 with Dr. Ann Weiser Cornell on the approach known as focusing. As always, you can have this for absolutely free. And I want to thank all our volunteer transcribers who've generously made so many transcripts available for your education and or entertainment. September is getting off to a good start with two new donations from the UK. You know who you are. Thanks so much. And if you'd like to make a donation to support this work, please look for the big green donate button on our site. Those also serve who patronize our sponsors using the discount links on our site for GoDaddy, PetMeds.com, Budget Car Rentals, and Angie's List.
Yeah, you should really listen to that Dr. Dave show. A lot of people are tuning in. It's extremely popular. And I've met Dr. Dave a couple times and listened to his show and liked it very much. There's a lot of good stuff there. And for those of you who are into what your mind is doing, it's an interesting little piece of your body. What's going on in your head? You might want to check it out. Shrink Wrap Radio, shrinkwrapradio.com.
Thank you, Adam Curry, podfather to us all. Now let's catch up on some listener email. First, we hear from Doug, who writes, "Thanks for another outstanding and stimulating interview. The new one with Matt Atkinson. I'm a little behind in reading my emails, so Matt Atkinson is no longer the new one. He goes on to say, at the end, you said you were still interested in interviewing people about evil. Dr. Stephen A. Diamond is a licensed clinical and forensic psychologist in private practice and a member of the approved panel of psychiatrists and psychologists for the Criminal Division of the Los Angeles County Superior Court. He's the author of the book Anger, Madness, and the Daimonic, The Psychological Genesis of Violence, Evil, and Creativity. Well, that sounds like an excellent recommendation there. Doug goes on to say, more links to his Psych Today blog and personal site are on my podcast notes page and Doug's podcast notes page. You'll find it http://talentdevelop.com. And if you search around there, I think you'll be able to find it. Next, we hear from Hunting, who writes from Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Dave, I hope this finds you well and that you enjoy what looks like a warm, sunny day in Rohnert Park. I wanted to follow up with you on my progress made and once again give you my thanks for the help you provided, as it has had strong impact on my life. I have finalized my move to San Francisco and leave July 13th. This shows you how far behind I am in reading my email, since he sent this sometime before July 13th. He goes on, this has been 5 years in the making, and I'm happy that it is finally going to take place. I have also committed to the career change into the field of psychotherapy. I took the GRE 2 weeks ago and scored above the average for Tier 1 schools in California. Hey, congratulations. I've begun to collect my reference letters as well and have begun to select my top choices for school. I will soon be applying for schools to begin classes in fall of 2010. I have yet to settle on which degree I'm going to pursue specifically. I've narrowed it down to one of 4 degree paths, but I'm struggling with a final determination. If you have a moment and feel so inclined, I'd really appreciate your feedback as a professor and clinician on the following 3 questions. And here's his first question. 1, if the immediate goal is to become a therapist and one enters a PhD or master's psych program, do you have to get a PhD in clinical psychology, or can someone with a PhD in social psychology become a therapist? Okay, let me speak to question number 1 first here. In general, I think it depends upon the licensing in a given state in the United States, but most will probably require either a PhD in clinical psychology, or after you get your PhD in some other subfield of psychology, such as social psychology, you can do what's called a postdoc, which generally postdocs are about a year, maybe a little bit more. And after taking your postdoc and putting in the required internship hours, then you can probably qualify to get clinical licensure. And I know people who've done that. Here's his question number 2. He says, assuming I get a master's in psychology, counseling, or MFT now from a Tier 2 school, and he mentions San Francisco State or UC Santa Barbara, and then practice for 3 to 5 years before applying to a Tier 1 PhD program, for example, UC Berkeley, University of Victoria, Stanford, as compared to applying today, coming directly from a business degree. So I guess his question is, should he get a master's from a lesser school and then apply to a top-tier school? And in fact, that's what I did for different reasons. Since I didn't have an undergraduate degree in psychology, I needed to do remedial work, and I did that by getting into a master's program, and then I was able to get into a top-tier school, the University of Michigan. So it can be done, but it does certainly add time to the total trip, because the doctoral program that you get into is not likely to give you much advanced standing by virtue of having had a master's degree. Here's his question 3. Finally, if I pursue a master's today and intend to eventually get a PhD in social or developmental psych, am I better served with a master's in psychology or counseling? Or does it make that big a difference? I would say that you'll be better served by a degree in psychology because those doctoral programs in psychology generally are very strongly oriented towards traditional research psychology, and you probably would not get that preparation in a counseling master's program. He finishes up his email saying, Dr. Dave, I hope this inquiry isn't inappropriate, and if there's someone else that you feel would be a better person for me to be in contact with, please let me know. Regardless, thank you for your prior help and time. And that's from Hunting, who was in Atlanta, but now he's probably somewhere else. And the question is entirely appropriate, and I read it here because other people may benefit as well.
Are you ready to all gather together all your heart, all your soul, all your anger, all your hate, and shout with me in group therapy, my brothers and sisters, my blood? Show me.
Now, in case you're wondering why I played that just now, it's because I didn't know where it came from, and I expressed that in a prior show, and the answer has come from Kai, who writes, Hello, Dr. Dave. I'm several episodes behind right now after being without an MP3 player for a while. So sorry if you've already been told this. You have a clip you use between segments of a man speaking to a crowd saying, and shout with me in group therapy, my brothers, my sisters, my blood, which you said in one podcast you didn't know the origin of. I believe I do. It's David Dryman, frontman for the metal band Disturbed, giving his introduction to the song Shout 2000, a cover of the Tears for Fears song Shout. I don't know exactly where the clip came from, but I'm sure that's what it is. That's his voice. He emphasizes the word shout like it's significant. The drums at the end of the clip are identical to how that song starts, and I found a clip on YouTube where he introduced that song with a different, cruder speech using some of the same phrases. Hope that's helpful, Kai. Kai, that is very helpful, and thank you so much. Next, we hear from frequent contributor, longtime listener, Rick, who writes, Hey, Dave, I listened to your interview with Dana Houck while I was in Europe and was pleasantly surprised when you read my question to him. Thanks, old man, for the very nice complimentary quote. Oh, and by the way, I was so interested in what Dr. Burns said in the interview that I did a bit of research on the philosopher that he credits for changing his life in a significant way. I believe the famous philosopher he was referring to in the interview was Ludwig Wittgenstein. If so, he made a significant error about his bio that he should know about so that he doesn't repeat what he said in future interviews. He stated that Wittgenstein committed suicide when in fact he died of prostate cancer in 1951. However, three of his four brothers did commit suicide. Talk about a dysfunctional family. Anyhow, if I were Dr. Burns, I would want to know that I made a mistake because he puts a lot of weight into Wittgenstein's influence on the trajectory of his life. That being said, I think that was one of the best shows you've done, and I think Burns and Gottman need to get together because they are essentially on the same page, theoretically. You are so ready for prime time, Dave. Regards, Rick the Insomniac. You know, I think I recall forwarding that to David Burns, and I can't remember now what he said, but I think he may have said there was some mix-up there. Be that as it may, moving right along. Next, we hear from another longtime listener and one-time guest, Anna of Anna is a Man blog, who writes, Hi, David. Thanks to the discussion group. He's talking about our Yahoo discussion group. I was alerted about the exceptional issue of Shrink Wrap Radio with Matt Atkinson. I will publish a raving review this week in my blog. I wanted to ask you your opinion as a podcaster about a new service I'm developing on my blog. By applying certain options in Google Reader, I can make composite podcast feeds that contain podcast episodes from any which podcast that I choose to throw in. As an example, I could make a feed 10 great podcasts about psychology and deliver there an episode from Shrink Wrap Radio, from Wise Counsel, and from other psychology podcasts. On the other hand, one of your episodes will get additional attention and downloads. On the other hand, those listeners will be subscribed to my feed, not to yours. Would you welcome such a channel, or would you consider that someone else playing peacock with your feathers? I love that expression. I've never heard it before. And he closes, looking forward to your opinion, Anna. Well, Anna, I think I'm fine with it as long as there is a link to, you know, as long as people can find a way to Shrink Wrap Radio or Wise Counsel, and they know that that's the source in case they want to subscribe directly. And as long as you're not mirroring, you know, all of the episodes, I think that's okay, at least for now. Meanwhile, Ramon wrote the following on my wall on Facebook. Keep up the good work, Dr. Dave. There is so much to learn. You are indeed making a good contribution. I listen to you when I do my brisk walks. Take care, from Ramon. And then finally, we hear from Colleen. Aloha, Dr. Dave. I tried several times today to make a donation at your PayPal link, but it wouldn't let me. No matter how many ways I tried to enter an amount, it kept saying, please enter an amount larger than zero. Really love your show and the way you engage with your guests and respond to your listeners, Colleen. Well, you can imagine I was nervous. Oh, no, she's not going to be able to donate. And certainly we would hope that it was an amount larger than zero. And then later I heard from her and she wrote saying, I found out what I was doing wrong. I wasn't hitting the update total button after I entered the amount. So in case any of you are having difficulty donating for that reason, there's the solution. And so I'll quit reading the email here with this final idea of donating. Okay, I think that better wrap it up for today. You can send your emails, as always, to shrink@shrinkwrapradio.com. And in addition to emails, you can leave comments about individual shows in the comments area on the Shrink Wrap Radio website. You can leave voicemails on Skype, where I am ShrinkPod, and in the U.S., you can leave voicemail on our phone at 206-337-0622. Thanks to my guests, Victor and Cooch Daniels, for sharing their work on the Matrix Meditations. My next show will feature an interview with Dr. Roger Kamenetz, author of The History of Last Night's Dream, Discovering the Hidden Path to the Soul. Please stay tuned for a couple of brief sponsor announcements with discount opportunities for you. Until next time, this is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind. One of the ways you can support this show is by using our discount codes at GoDaddy.com, the world's largest provider of domain names and web services. I personally use GoDaddy.com, and so I feel good about recommending it to you. Go to our homepage and click on the GoDaddy banner on the right side of the page for info on our money-saving GoDaddy discount codes. I want to thank our sponsor, Budget Car Rentals, for their support of Shrink Wrap Radio. May I suggest that you consider Budget.com for any of your automobile rental needs. Using my special code of SHRINK will get you or your family or friends that you share this information with $30 off weekly rentals or 10% off for other time periods. With Budget, you can rent like a genius.